Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Lord willing, I'd like to finish this chapter this evening, dealing with verses 15 through 33. And the Apostle Paul has been dealing with a subject that sets forth that all that came out of Egypt were not the elect of God. There were many of whom the Lord, the Scripture says, was not pleased. What they had done, they lusted after evil things. That is, they desired things that they remembered that they had in Egypt. But they weren't satisfied with what God had provided, the manna. We want the onions and the leeks and the garlic. That's what we want. We want some flesh. We want flesh. The Scripture says that they were found to be idolaters, many of them. Not all of them, but many of them were idolaters. Now, there's a good explanation in Romans chapter 1, verse 22. Turn there, Romans 1, 22, 25. Concerning this evil that they did, this idolatry. Romans 1, 22, 25. The Scripture sets forth, verse 22, Romans 1, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, Brother Henry Mahan made a statement, a comment on that passage, and I'm just going to read you what he said. I thought that was so good. He said, man's great mistake is to seek the wisdom of God by his own thoughts and understanding. That is to say, to draw God down to man's own low condition by having some kind of an image, a picture, a statue, or some religious relic, he said, to assist in worship. They've got to have some kind of something to look at, you know. Got to have a cross on the wall or something. They changed the truth of God. We worship Him by faith, not by sight. I remember years ago, Mark, you know, years ago I was coming up with this false religion, and there were these statues all over the place. They'd have all kinds of things in there, I don't know, things, stuff in their hand, burning crosses or I don't know, I can't remember what, burning heart or something. And I remember being told as a little child, they said, now we're not worshiping that. It just helps us. It just helps us. The Scripture sets forth that they were idolaters. They had to see something. Had to, you know. They were fornicators, giving themselves or associating themselves with heathen worship. Now I'm going to get into this in just a minute. This is Paul has explained all these things happened to them as examples for us. And tonight I'm going to get into the latter part of this chapter, and it's going to bring it right down to where we are today about what they were doing then and how relevant it is for us now. And then the last thing they did, they tempted the Lord's dealings with them. They questioned His providence. Why, they said to Moses, why have you brought us out into this wilderness to die? We had it a whole lot better in Egypt. Whenever we began to question the providence of God, as the Lord orders things and directs things, and for us to question His providence, I'm telling you, we're all prone to do it. Things work out the way they work out, and we gripe about it, complain about it. That's what they did, and God sent fiery serpents, biting them and killing them. Told Moses, make a brazen serpent, hold it up. And the last thing they were doing, they were constantly murmuring. They were grumbling and complaining against the Lord and Lord's prophet, against Moses. They were always griping about everything. Griping, murmuring, on and on. And the Lord killed them. He killed them. In an unusual way, we dealt with that. How many of them died. Now, the verse 13 says, but to God's people, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God's faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And then he gives this warning. He said, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from that which is revealed to be forbidden. Flee from that which is revealed in God's Word to be offensive to the Lord. But flee that. Don't be found. Don't be found. God will sustain us. God will keep us. Flee those things. Leave them. Don't entertain them. Shun that for which Scripture reveals that many have had the Lord's providential restraints withdrawn and left them to the pollution of their old nature. Things that would attempt to steal our affection, steal our love, our worship of Him, and be a hindrance to God's people. Flee those things, you know. Then Paul is now going to give the heart of what he's leading up to. All these things that happened to these people, what they fell into, what they were doing, what they started associating with, and people in those places, and idolatry and murmuring. And he said, Paul says, flee those things. Now let's get down now to the heart of what he's been coming up to that's relevant for us today. Now he says in verse 15, I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. Now, Paul says, I'm speaking to men, to women that claim to be believers. And he said, I want you to judge. You listen to what I'm saying, and you hearing what I'm saying in relationship to the Word of God, you judge for yourself, Paul says, what I'm telling you, and you discern these things according to God's Word as the Spirit of God has taught His people. He said, now, and I want to, let me just tell you this so you'll understand where he's going with this. He's going to pick up on a subject that he had dealt with previously, and I know that's what he's doing because that's what he begins to talk about. And he's going to be talking about whenever they would, you know, had a question about eating meat that was offered to idols. Is it okay? What's your thoughts, Paul, on that? And he's going to pick up on that subject, but as he begins to deal with it, he's going to qualify what he's saying. concerning eating meat. And when I'm saying eating meat offered to idols, I'm talking about, and Paul is talking about, associating with those that are in worship services that are not according, are not teaching the gospel of God's grace. He's talking about being and associating with people that don't preach the gospel. Now that's what he's talking about. Talk about eating meat. They heathen worshipers, they'd have these sacrifices, you know, they'd worship. But he's talking about, now he's going to talk about services. Lord's Supper in different places. Now listen to what he's got to say. And it, may the Spirit of God teach us all this evening. He said, now the cup of blessing, verse 16, which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Now he's going to be taking up now. He's going to start off his explanation to try to teach these people concerning this question that they have. What about meat offered to idols, Paul? Can we do that? Can we not do that? What should we do? He said, now, he's going to start off by talking about the Lord's Supper. That's what he's talking about right here. If we get into, well, Lord willing, when we get into 1 Corinthians 11, that's where we always read. Every time we have the Lord's Supper, we're in 1 Corinthians 11. That's where I'm getting that from. I'm in 1 Corinthians 10. He's starting to lead up now on the Lord's Supper. He's talking about the significance of the Lord's Supper. He said, now you listen, you judge what I'm saying. He said, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? That is to say, the cup of God's gracious blessing to us. Now when we have the Lord's Supper, we've got a little cup, and it's wine in it. It's got wine in it. And I got a little piece of bread. And it's real bread. It's really bread, and that's really wine. And Paul refers to that as this cup of God's blessing. It was that cup, that cup that we actually drink out of. It sets forth, you know what it sets forth. It sets forth the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, now that cup of blessing, God's blessing that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to us, he said, that cup which we bless, which we're thankful for, which we thank the Lord for, we pray and thank God for the privilege. We ask the Lord's blessing to our hearts for the privilege to drink of that cup. As, you know, and as we're drinking, are we not doing something? The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? He said, now, are we not admitting something here? Are we not saying that we're partaking, while we're partaking of that, are we not saying that we believe by faith that we're having communion with the Lord? The Lord who is now with us, and we're drinking by faith in communion with Him, just as He was with His disciples that night which He was betrayed. He said, where two or three are gathered, and where believers are one, they're in communion, they're together in heart, and they bind themselves together. Here we are. Now we're in communion. God's people are. We're in communion. And when we drink of that cup, Paul said, are we not saying that what we're actually doing is we're acknowledging the true and living God who gave us of Himself, who shed His blood, and we drink together with one heart in thankfulness, acknowledging His mercy and compassion as needy creatures of the dust? Is that not what we're saying? And somebody might say, well, now that, wait a minute. Now wait, hold it. That cup, I pour out and I put them in here, I put them in tray. These men pass them out. They said, now that's just a cup of wine. Nope. No, sir. I beg to differ with you. That is not just a cup of wine, because it is wine. And it's just, it wouldn't be a thing in the world wrong having a glass of wine. Just have a glass of wine. If that's what you wanted to do, don't break any laws over it. Don't let yourself get carried away with it. But there's nothing inherently wrong with that wine. But when that wine is poured into that little cup and we come together in a service of worship, and we're here for the express reason to have communion with the Lord in the way that He prescribed for us to come together. No, sir. It is not just a cup of wine. That according to the Scriptures, what we're doing by that cup right there, it's just wine, but it's not just wine. We are worshiping and remembering the Lord's shed blood. Paul calls it here the cup of blessing. The cup of the Lord's blessing. The Lord has given it. We're worshiping. And we're worshiping and have communion with the God of the Bible. Is there anything mysterious about that wine? No, sir. But it's what it symbolizes. It's a thing when we come together in this way. We just go into church. No, sir, not God's people. They're not just showing up for any haphazard reason. I'm telling you, this is a time of worship. There's something special when God's people come together in union and love and fellowship. There's something special there. He said, when you come together in my name, remembering me, he said, I'm in the midst of you. When God is in the midst of us, it's not just another meeting. It's not just another service. This is the God-ordained means whereby God's people, by faith, participate in the finished work of Christ and the benefits of it. So we don't treat that the taking of the Lord's Supper irreverently. We don't do that. We don't say, well, it's just wine. No, sir. I said, there's nothing mysterious about it. There's nothing mysterious about that little piece of bread. It's just a piece of bread. But it's the significance. We treat it. It's the cup of blessing. Cup of blessing that we bless. And then he says also in verse 16, and he says, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Now that bread does not become the body of Christ. I've been taught that, but it doesn't. That's not the body of Christ. It is the symbol of the communion that we have with Christ concerning His broken body. This is the way that He prescribed, that He set forth, that we would worship Him. When we break and eat that bread at the Lord's table, we're in communion. We're fellowshipping. We're remembering Him. We're partakers of the benefits of His broken body. That's what He said. When I eat that piece of bread by faith, what I'm saying, in accordance to the Lord's command, He said, this do. You do this. And you do it reverently. You do it respectfully. We don't flippantly do it. You do this in remembrance of me. Worship in the one who's the head of the body. He says, look at verse 17, for we being many are one bread and one body. For we're all partakers of that one bread. No matter how many we are, the number is not the issue. God's people are God's people. Whether Jew or Gentile, we partake of the supper of the Lord in communion. And we're remembering the living Christ. We take of that bread together in heart and in fellowship, and we worship Him as one body. When we're coming together, there's a lot of different people here, but I want to tell you something. God's people is one body. We're one body. We love each other. We defend each other. We have each other's back. We're in communion with one another. We love each other. We worship Him as one. Why? Because we're brethren. We're brethren. Look at verse 18. Behold, he said, now listen to this. He said to remember. He said, think back. Behold, consider this, Israel after the flesh. Are they not which eat of the sacrifices, partakers of the altar, with natural Israel? Whenever the priests and the Levites, those that ministered about the tabernacle, laid the sacrifices on the altar, that part which was to be consumed upon the altar, there was a portion of some of those sacrifices, not all, the burnt offering, they couldn't eat anything. That was for the Lord. They couldn't eat that. But there were other sacrifices that they could eat of. They could partake of. Now, he said, whenever they when they would eat of the sacrifices, were they not being partakers of the altar? What does he mean? He said, when they ate of that portion that the Lord allowed them to eat, the priest and the Levites, they did so in communion with each other. They were eating it together. And they were showing themselves to be worshipers of the God of Israel. The God that had given them the law. The God that they worshiped. This is what they were doing. They were worshiping God in the prescribed manner. The Lord's revelation. So Paul then asked this. He said, now think about this. He said, when we eat the Lord's Supper, We're doing that. That's a cup of blessing. That's not just a ritual. That cup that we bless, that bread that we eat, that broken body, we're doing that in communion. He said, even back then, when they were eating their portion of the sacrifices, they were doing that in the prescribed manner. That was God's setting forth, showing the communion that God has with His people. And then he said in verse 19, he said, what say thou? What am I saying then? What say I then? Knowing that the Israelites, when they partook of that sacrifice, they were worshiping the true and living God. He said, now let's consider something else now. On the other side of the table, those that are worshiping these idols, he said, what say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? He said, am I saying that though Israel worshiped the true and living God, he said, am I saying that these that are over here that are worshiping these idols, are they worshiping one that's true and living? No. Now Paul's going to get back to something. Now he's going to answer a question that was asked. What is God's word concerning eating meat that was offered to idols? Now he told them, he said, I want you to know something. He told them back then, he said, now listen, that meat is meat. If you buy a ribeye and you'd offer it to idol, and it was still a ribeye, and it was just meat. It was just meat, But he said, I want you to understand something. It's truly just meat. But with the memory that believers, when they eat of the Lord's Supper, in that ordinance that we have, the Lord's Supper, we're worshiping the true and living God. He said, I want you to know something. The God we worship is living. The God, the little g God that everybody else is worshiping, he said, that idol is nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing more than a figment of an imagination. It's not a real anything. And that which is offered in sacrifice to idols, it's nothing too. It's not anything. That which is offered to idols has no significance whatsoever. He says in verse 20, he said, but I say that the things with the Gentiles sacrifice, unbelievers is what he's saying. He said, that which they sacrifice to devils and not to God, and I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Now he's going to get down to the heart of it right here. He said, regardless of what false religionists say, they're doing when they assemble to worship. Let me just say it so you can understand what I'm meaning. We here partake of the Lord's Supper. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are by faith worshiping the true and living God. We're worshiping Him who is alive. He's alive. And He's here. He's here. And we're convinced that the one we worship is the God of this Bible. Now, there are other assemblies where the gospel of God's grace is not preached. Where a message of man's free will is exalted, that God saves men according to their works. And you know what I'm talking about. It's Arminianism is what it is. It's man-centered, God-dishonoring, false religion. It's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. And Paul refers to them that is Gentiles. I say that the things with the Gentiles sacrifice, he said, though they say, and I'm telling you that you can go into churches where they will also have what they say is the Lord's Supper. And they're going to take a little cup. They won't use wine, I guarantee you. They'll use grape juice. And they'll get a piece of bread. And you know what they're going to call it? They're going to call it the Lord's Supper. They have what's called the Lord's Supper. They go through a service just like we do. It looks just, basically, it looks the same thing. But there's one big difference. When I say that we're worshiping the God of this Bible, it's the cup of blessing. It's the cup of the blessing of the Lord that we bless, that we're thankful for. Serving the true and living God, sovereign God, electing, true, sovereignly redeeming God, truly, sovereignly regenerating and keeping God. God Almighty, as He's revealed in this book, this is the God that we're eating bread and drinking wine in worship unto, because that's what He said to do. Now, when somebody else does the same thing, and they say that they're worshiping God, and it's not the God that we're worshiping right here. You know what Paul reveals that to be? I say, verse 20, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Meat offered to idols, that is nothing more than just meat. It's not in a religious service, it's just meat. But what Paul is saying is this. If you are somewhere, if you were to be, and I'll tell you this, he even gets down to even the forbidden, he said, don't even go to the services. But if you're found to be in a situation, and there's a religious service where the true and living God is not preached and a false gospel is proclaimed, it's not a light and insignificant thing if you're engaging in what they're doing. If somebody was somewhere, so you understand, I want you to understand exactly what I'm saying. If you were in a service and they were having what they call the Lord's Supper, and you'd say, well, you know what, I know it's just wine, it's really not. It's just a piece of bread. Paul said, I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Is it wrong to take and drink in communion with someone that is not preaching or believing the gospel of God's grace? Is it wrong to partake with them? Yes. Yes. This is what Paul is saying. This is what he said. You, verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. That is just as plain as it can possibly be. He said you can't play both sides of the fence. The God that they say they're worshiping is not the God we worship. He's not. And to sit and to give them the idea that you're partaking with them, Paul said, this is what you're doing. It's just bread. It's just wine. No. No. It's a sacrifice unto demons. Because there is no God but one God. You're worshiping no other God if you're not worshiping the God of the Scriptures. Look at verse 22. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Are we foolish enough to think that we can provoke God to jealousy? Now, here's the thing. Almighty God has declared Himself to be a jealous God. Look at Exodus 20. Exodus 20, verse 3 to 5. I was saying at the beginning of this service, I'm going to bring it right down to the heart of where we are now. We can talk about, you know, those when they came out of Egypt and then the wilderness. Well, I'm going to talk about right now. What is God's word for right now? Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 to 5. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath or is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. I looked up that word serve. It means to be led by or enticed in worship. Exactly what I was talking about when I had somebody tell me, say, well, we don't really worship that statue. We don't really worship that. I'm not really worshiping that crucifix on the wall. Don't put it there. He said, is it wrong? It is wrong. Is it wrong? It's wrong. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Look at Exodus 34. Exodus 34, verse 12 to 15. Exodus 34, 12 to 15. Take heed to yourselves, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, to do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. Listen, is it okay to partake in, to fellowship in, to have communion with, to be going and sitting and listening to someone proclaiming a false god? Is it okay? Not for a believer. No, sir. God Almighty said, I am a jealous God. I mean, we have God's word on this. Don't enter in to their services. I don't know any other way to say it. Neil, I can't say it any simpler than I'm saying it. I don't know how to say it. Listen, look at verse back in 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 23, 24. All things, Paul says, are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. They're not profitable. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Listen, brethren, we're free in Christ. We're free in Christ. And there's nothing in itself that's unlawful. But all things, though they're not unlawful, is there anything wrong with eating a piece of roast? No. Unless that piece of roast is being used in a religious service back then, or whether it's what they call the Lord's Supper now, whatever it is, if it's a part of a worship service where the heathen is saying, I'm worshiping God, is it right to partake with them? No. No, sir. Paul said all things are lawful, but all things are not constructive. So the building up of a brother or sister. Don't seek your own pleasure at their expense. Remember who they are. If someone is offended, if a brother has a weak conscience, I'll deal with it in just a second. I know it's coming up, I'm going to mention it. If a brother or sister's got a weak conscience, they're not convinced on something, what should you do? If it's okay for you, what should you do? If it's going to offend a brother or sister, don't do it. Don't do it. Look at verse 25, 26. Here we go, right here. Whatsoever sold in the shambles, a meat market is what that means. That eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. That meat bought in a meat market, maybe that piece of meat was used in a heathen worship. If it was, so what? You can buy it and eat it. Don't ask any questions because it doesn't matter. Why? Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He made everything for His glory and for the good of His people. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Don't even ask. What difference does it make if it was? But now in verse 27 to 29, he's going to qualify something. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast. He said, now you go to a meat market, you walk in, you're looking in the counter there, and say, well, I tell you what, that roast beef looks pretty good right there. I think I'll take 3 pounds of that right there. Okay. If it was offered to an idol, what difference does it make? Don't even ask. It doesn't make any difference. That's what he said. Whatsoever soul, that eat, asking no questions. What difference does it make? Eat it. But now he says in verse 27, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever set before you, eat it. Asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Now, what did he say? He said, as long as the issue of whether the meat was offered to an idol doesn't come up, just eat it. Just go ahead and eat it. If it didn't come up, it doesn't make any difference. But if the issue comes up, and if there is an unbeliever that's informed you, now this right here is special meat. This meat was offered unto my idol, unto my God. Then that meat now, according to him, now is an object of worship. And Paul says, don't eat it. Don't eat it. Now, why? Because now you'd be communing in his mind with him that you're with him. Paul said, don't eat it. Or, he said, on the other hand, if a weak brother, for conscience sake, his conscience sake, if he'd be offended, you know, I don't know if you should eat meat, you know. If that unbeliever says this is an issue of worship right here, Paul said, don't eat it for that sake. If he says it's a piece of meat and we're communing with my God, if you eat it, Paul said, I ain't eating it. Now, how about if a believer sees you and he knows that it was a piece of meat offered to an idol? Should you eat it for conscience sake? No. Paul said, because I don't want to be one to offend a brother. I'm not going to enter in with you in that false worship, and I'm not going to offend a brother. If it's not an issue, that's fine. But, he says, and he said in verse 29, he says, conscience, when he's talking about conscience, I say, he said, not my own, not thine own, but the other. For why is my liberty, he asked a question here. If you're tempted to ask, you know, you say, look. That piece of meat I know is nothing. I know it was offered to nothing. I know it's just a piece of meat. But you may be tempted in your heart to say, well, okay, if I know that that meat is nothing, and I like that kind of meat, why am I to be judged by somebody else? Why is my liberty in Christ, why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Why should I let another man's conscience govern my liberty? That's what he's saying. Why? The scripture says, verse 30, for if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? If I'm doing what I'm doing according to the scriptures, I'm walking in the liberty wherein Christ has made me free, I'm giving thanks for what the Lord's given me, and I know that the meat's nothing, why should I be criticized for it, for doing what the Lord has said I'm free to do? Why should I do that? Well, two reasons. Number one, because we're not going to give that man, that unbeliever, who made that piece of meat a part of worship. I'm not going to partake with him, because the scripture reveals that what I'd be saying to him in his mind is, I agree with you. That's the first reason not to do it. But the second reason not to do it is because I'm not going to offend a brother over a piece of meat. I'm not going to get into a squabble with a brother over something that don't matter. That's what he's saying. This thing of, you know, this man that is loved and redeemed by Christ, this man that Almighty God everlastingly loved, if he's weak in the faith and he doesn't understand, I am not going to offend a brother over that. Paul said, here's the way we're going to sum this thing up. Verse 31, whether therefore you eat or you drink or whatever, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Is it worth offending a brother over something that doesn't matter? No, sir. I'm not going to give an unbeliever a false confidence in saying, I'm with you. I'm going to partake with you and give you a false hope in that false gospel, in that false God. But I'm not going to offend a brother. We may have all the liberty in the world to do that which God has permitted us to do, but if a brother is offended at our liberty, abstain from it, Paul says, for the glory of God and for their good. Don't be an offense to another brother or sister over something that has no significance. Strive to be an encouragement, a help, an example of faithfulness to the glory of God. And then he closes. He says, give none offense, neither to the Jews nor the Gentiles, to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. If the glory of God is truly my concern, I'm going to be found careful to not needlessly offend a brother or a sister. I am not going to give an unbeliever. I'm not going to tell a false preacher. I'm not going to tell a false preacher, I agree with you. I'm not going to enter into his service with him. I'm not going to eat with him in the fellowship of what he calls the Lord's Supper. I'm not going to listen to him. I'm not going to give him a hearing. Come out from among them. Be separate, Paul says. He said, this is what God killed a lot of them for. He told them. He said, don't go after their gods. Don't fellowship with them. Stay away from them. And what did they do? They did it. They were spiritual fornicators. They were idolaters. And God gave them over. Is it the right thing to fellowship with God's people where Christ is honored, where God is honored, where the gospel is preached. Is that the right thing to do? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Is it right to listen to anything other than the God of this Bible being preached? No. Don't do it. I pray that the Lord teach us concerning the seriousness of worship, worshiping the true and living God. God is a jealous God. He said, I'll have no other gods before me. I pray that God bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake. Amen.